The Venturi's Voice podcast brings together some of technology's brightest minds to discuss all things leadership, technology, and staffing. Keep the conversation going in the Venturi's Voice Slack group and have the opportunity to meet some of our amazing guests. You can download Venturi's Voice via iTunes or via the Venturi Group website at venturi-group.com. Today's guest is Sharon Matthew, founder of AI Tech UK and a Microsoft Analytics and AI Solutions architect. Good to have you on. I'm very much looking forward to the conversation. I think AI is something that I'm fascinated in, but at the same time, I still feel like I hardly know anything about it.
Yeah.
I think probably in the same place as most people.
I think it's general sort of situation currently everywhere. So you're not new to it. I think this is a common question that we get.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing it for a while, Sharon, but it's clearly something that's only recently come into, you know, common conversation. You know, I mean, I was talking about AI with my grandparents. I can only imagine how gripping of a conversation that was. about, you know, and how much technical detail we went into, but you know, it's got to that level now, and I always kind of wonder about why things do all of a sudden become such a hot topic. But I think it's kind of, in this case, the reality of why it has become so popular to discuss is, I think, it's because of the fear of the unknown, and I think that's genuinely where the kind of the virality aspect of it has come from. So be interesting to kind of hear your perspective today and maybe put some of those concerns to sleep, and maybe not, maybe kind of reassure that things are, you know, going to dramatically change in the coming years because of AI.
Absolutely. I'll try my best. I'm not an AI expert to state that. I have a AI journey which starts 14, 15 years ago.
Mm.
So I did bachelor's degree in electronics, telecom, and computer science sort of was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We did things such as making robots, programming it, adding custom visions using, you know, web cameras on the robot, making it think, making it move, making it make decisions such as if someone tries to come and catch the robot, mm-hmm. it needs to sound some alarm and move away from, you know, the people, from the desk or chairs, if it's navigating around. So I think people were doing these sort of things ages ago. But I think what's happened today is technology, innovation, data, all this power of processing things has become really accessible and easy. So what I mean by that is our smartphone, for instance, is way, way smarter than the bombers that were flying in World War II. It has got so much capability in just one tiny space. It's got radio, it's got sat-nav, it's got memory, compute, you name it, everything packed in small, tiny space. And that is just a small example. We got so much data just floating around. We generated about 90% of our data in the last few years. And in the next couple, we're going to generate the same amount of data. It just shows that data proliferation, i.e., burst of data, is another driver to allow us to sort of work on new innovations and technology. Now, AI is quite loosely used these days. So AI has many phases. So AI has machine learning, deep learning, and whatever we're trying to do today is we're trying to solve a small, simple problem, which is we give sound to an application and it detects that it has emotions, it has text, and it has certain language associated to it, okay? So simple input and simple output. This is narrow AI, just small application of AI, you know, in a simple way. We haven't yet reached to the ultimate super intelligence stage yet. Today's AI stands at the maturity level of a four-year-old kid, and innocence of a four-year-old kid. It's not that complex, but you right at the start of this session where you said, you know, there is a fear that what AI could potentially do. I think what I want to bring out today is, yes, we are going in the right direction. It's thanks to all the innovation, data, you know, compute as in the power of processing data has become dead cheap. New algorithms and new technologies such as deep learning has come out, which has made things faster, accurate, and cheaper to do. Back in the days, people have to get, for example, IBM had to get a supercomputer to do the same algorithm what today people do on their laptop. So, you know, it just shows that it has become easy and accessible these days.
Yeah.
And people are writing codes from nothing. People are consuming AI as a service and building applications on top of it. And that is a great force. So it's just not retail, but I think superpowers and big corporations are, you know, driven by this sort of dynamic change in technology. And it's similar to the Industrial Revolution. Then we had a big boom of information technology, and then internet started disrupting things. We are at a stage of disruption. And what happens when we have disruption? So when we had Industrial Revolution, what did we do? We started educating ourselves. We had to reculture how we did things at that time. And I think today, because of what we're hearing, the big AI hype, we have to do the same thing. And I think leaders especially will have to lead this and demonstrate that, yep, we have to reculture. We need to use technology, this power of intelligence and automation and innovation to make a better, safer and greener sort of world for us.
Mm-hmm.
AI drives, I think side effect of AI is two things that is intrinsic in sort of human behavior and psychology, let's say. One is greed. Oh, I want to do things cheaper and faster. Okay, and you can see like this example of, you know, greed is applicable in most of the applications. They want to make things faster, cheaper. Retails, they want to sell more. They want to sense what you're trying to look and what they can propose and recommend. And that's one thing. That is a key driver these days. Other one is, the fear of AI, which is, am I being tracked all the time? My personal information is being recorded, and what are they doing with it? So I think two things come out of this. And I think, again, going back to this, I think leaders need to make the right choices. And we have different sort of sectors that can actually apply this in favor of humanity. For example, great example is NHS. We got so much data, healthcare. If you put all of this data, it becomes big data. Okay. Now, big data allows AI. AI just loves data. Now, the way AI works is it's just a machine. It doesn't know what to do. Like human, we know what to do if we are experienced, if we've seen that situation in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Machines, how do they get experience? They get experience by that set of data. So when they see data, this patient came in on this day from here, had this problem, and they attended the appointment. Next patient came from this place, they had this problem, they did not attend the appointment for so-and-so reason. The weather was bad, probably he or she couldn't walk because of bad knee, and you know, there could be various reasons. A machine learned from the data. They use data as experience, and they start learning patterns. Okay, so this is where it gets a bit tricky, where machines start learning things. And this is called machine learning. There is various ways in which machine learns. I don't want to get into technicality of each of them. But like I said, a great example is what NHS could do. So they could potentially predict, if we can predict appointment cancellation, if we can predict what's the likelihood of overbooking or cancellations in this month due to weather. If you look at a wider scope data, are we potentially able to predict cancer by looking at the appointments and trends? If similar patient had some similar history in past, can we sort of, you know, use that pattern to predict in advance if cancer could be, you know, predicted and a life could be saved well ahead of, you know, reaches to some critical stages. So that is just an example in NHS. Same thing applies in retail. For example, nowadays retails do a lot of AI in the application to recommend what to buy, give them vouchers and discount based on what they shop in past. It is very reactive. It is slightly prescriptive. But I think we got tons of data, again, in retail. For example, supermarkets will have expiry period of or date time stamp of when a certain product will sort of rot or mm-hmm. will be expired. And I think leaders could probably make a choice here. You know, I could write an app or create an application enabled by AI that could potentially detect the people who shop this kind of product, who like bananas or tomatoes. And if I said, you know, it is a full price on the first 2 days and the price gradually drops on the last few days of its expiry, closer to expiry, and I could sell that for cheap. And I could, you know, so I think AI can be used for, what I'm trying to say here is for waste management, fixing things. Now we use automation and AI to, say, build new cars. We could use the same to fix the cars, but we don't do that. Yeah. We use AI in Instagram, Snapchat to do filters and stuff. I think we could use the same in some other app to actually help people by geolocations of where the homeless people are, where you actually need to do some charity, where someone's doing some live performance for money in City Square. You know, there are endless applications. You could use social media and apps to do recycling, sharing cars. You know, you could enhance AI capability in certain direction where the whole world could be greener, better, you know, and happier place to be. If you can do dating apps with AI enabled to see who's in my proximity and is single, we could do the same to actually help people around us. So I think how we use AI is one thing. But I think the biggest thing today is, as you said, the fear of AI. The fear, first of all, is the technology. So what I've done for this is I have built a community. So last year or so, I started blogging. My blog has become a community, which is called AI Tech. And this AI Tech community runs a lot of events where our purpose is to build that community, to educate. Education is the way forward. We need to educate and reculture our community so that they understand what AI is actually capable of. Instead of being scared of it, we need to leverage the capability and the power and actually disrupt the disruption. And I'm a pro disrupt the disruption kind of person, where the way we will do that is by strategically sort of working around AI, technically understanding what AI is all about, and culturally sort of building a community that can understand and work with AI and use the power of AI to do something better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanted to ask and kind of dig into a little bit about the communities that you have built and kind of some of the purpose and kind of the mission within that. I mean, you spoke and, you know, articulated really well about a lot of kind of the benefits of AI.
Sure.
And, you know, just to not to harp on about it, but obviously just to briefly go back to the fear element of it. You know, for me as well, a lot of the, I think these, if they are irrational fears, do come from a place of, you know, lack of education. And I think what technology has been able to do is move at such a rate that, you know, organizations such as the government aren't able to keep ahead and keep up to date with it. You know, it was like, it reminds people, I think, of scenarios maybe in banking where some of the stuff was sophisticated to the point where they couldn't regulate it because they just didn't understand it. And I think when you can't regulate something due to lack of understanding, that's what gives people kind of the fear. And I think there's also the element of obviously, you know, it's taking our jobs, which, you know, I've actually spoken on the show a few times about those fears and I have my own theories on it. But I mean, you kind of, people do appreciate it and understand it. But when you speak about such things as you just did, you know, it's worth the investment and the risk for us to continue to innovate because it is going to make us so much more efficient across the board on such matters as you mentioned.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, so I think talking about the fear here, the first fear is the technology itself. How do I get on board with technology? So the community that I've started is to answer that question. So Community AI Tech, it's a user group, it's a meetup group, it's an association. So we meet up in Leeds and Manchester. People ask questions. We talk about technology. We bring industry experts who sort of break AI down. They demonstrate the capability of what AI could do today. Like I said, today's AI has maturity and capability of a four-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
What we fear is, okay, what happens when it becomes a rebellious teenager? Now, it will happen if it's not controlled. And I think big corporations. I work with Microsoft as a gold partner, and I use a lot of Microsoft's technology to do AI. And Microsoft itself has a lot of plans, such as making sure there's regulation in place, there's fairness, there's accountability, and transparency, and lots of ethics when you start building and working on AI. This is something that needs to be sort of regularized. You're absolutely correct. And I think one thing that comes out of here is, first of all, understanding technology, and I think delivering capability with some discipline and unbiasedness. So that is something that has to be applied in future. Currently, I don't think so. There's a framework yet, and that's why people like Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk, raise their concerns with AI. And I completely agree with them, and I can see how it can go bad to worse. But let's say what they're talking, or what world thinks here, is maybe at level 5 out of 10,
mm-hmm.
or maybe advanced AI, call it integrated automated intelligence system, that could be level 7, and not talking things like Optimus Prime or anything here. But today we are literally at level 2 and barely getting to level 3. Mm-hmm. So we haven't even managed to sort of put models and this small AI mechanism in a complex, simple model together. Yeah. So we can't even connect them. We're trying to. I think we're getting to that stage where we're trying to build something with our current capability, but we haven't got to that advanced stage where it could do that sort of harm yet. So I think people are taking actions, government and corporations are taking actions. And yeah, I think anyone who understands AI, I think clearly understand there is a clear need for regulation, discipline, and unbiasedness when we develop any AI application in the future.
Is that why you think it's so important to have kind of these communities do things like podcasts, try and talk about these things?
Absolutely. Yeah, so every leader, I think, needs to understand this. So every business who are thinking of onboarding AI, they need to know what benefits and risk it brings on board. In my talks, I usually say, it's similar to turbocharging a car. So you got a Ford Fiesta with, standard engine. Then you go for some car which has got lots of superpower in it. Or it's a supercar. So what naturally happens to the car? It becomes faster. You need better brakes. You need a different chassis. You need different, the whole dynamics of the car changes. And that's exactly what will happen to organizations. So the minute you say, I want to turbocharge my organization with AI, your cars, like business, like just the way car changes its design, your, as a business, will have to change your organization structure, the culture, the mechanism in which you do things, and also democratize AI big time. You have to actually disrupt the disruption in this case. And how do you do that? One of the things is to sort of do things like community events. So podcasts, blogs, talk on weekly basis, if not daily, at least, ensure that everyone is engaged, everyone understands the complexity and the consequences. So like I said, if you were to turbocharge a car, the consequences is it's going to go fast and it's going to mm-hmm. probably cause us, side effects such as accidents or, scare people off on the road. So I think same thing applies when you onboard AI in your business. So it's up to you how you sort of manage all of this. And most importantly, just understand and factor this in. I usually mention that when you onboard AI, you have to be very strategic. So technology is easy. I think culture is the difficult part. So I think you need to have a very strategic entry for AI, or AI to enter your organization or onboard AI, first of all, is to understand what is involved in it and how it's going to benefit you. So discovering and defining is a key thing.
Yeah.
That second most important thing is to democratize. So when you democratize, you sort of disrupting the disruption. Sorry, I keep saying that all the time, but what I mean over there is you are actually understanding the capability and leveraging the power of intelligence here and learning, literally educating yourself to see how I can make it work.
Yeah.
Then the next stage is designing, and designing with discipline, really.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be designing so that it does something that you prefer to do. Good example is lots of apps such as, you know, Cortana, Alexa, Google, Siri. As you can see, most of them have a female voice except for Siri. That just shows that the developers were men. So there is a inherent bias somewhere in that application development. It's a small thing to notice, but I think it just shows, you know, why has it got a female voice? Mm-hmm. Who's developed it? That just shows that, you know, why that voice was preferred.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how we do all of this. And last but not the least, deliver. So you will have to make some investments to get people on board. There will be lots of new jobs thanks to this, which is you'll be looking for AI developers in the future. You'll be looking for data scientists in the future, students who have done stats and maths or understand philosophy, you know, soft skills and math skills will be really in high demand in the future. So, you know, it just it's not, there is a fear that, okay, I'm going to lose the job, but I think it has opened so many things. There will be AI regulations, there will be AI laws, there will be AI insurance, all sorts of things that will come out in future. There will be new skill set, which means people will have to train on different tools and platforms, because there's more than one way of doing AI currently, and even I can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
There's so many methods of doing AI, and I think there's jobs, a lot of jobs out there that might sort of disrupt the market for good, actually. The community that I've built is basically targeting most of these challenges, making sure I'm talking to all the leaders so that they're on board with this, demonstrating the capability as well. So we have guys who work with me, we demonstrate different technology stack. We show that we could do AI this way, we could do AI that way, we could do AI easily, we can do AI in a complex way. Cherry pick what's your skill set, because some skill sets are quite, for example, some of them might be heavy on application writing or code writing. And some organizations may already have people who write those sort of code, which means it's slight dislocation shift in terms of how they actually are going to use AI or develop AI. Some organizations may not have skill sets to write any code or even resources to do so. And there are easy ways of doing AI in simple fashion. And we demonstrate that as well. So I think this community that I build is a platform for innovation and to bring all the strategical challenges and queries under one roof and answer them and help community, really.
Interesting. And I think at the basic level as well, it's even the community aspects, like with what you're doing, like I think there still has to be like a level of interest or understanding in advance of getting involved in a community like that. But, you know, with the scale of something like this, it's going to kind of affect everyone. So how do people kind of get started and just understand like what it's all about, really, at the basic level? Because I think that needs to be there so that you can then understand how it's going to fit into your life, how it's going to fit, potentially affect your career in the future. And I think that's kind of research that people need to be doing now, really. So how would you advise them to do it? Because it, like you say, it is such a minefield at the moment of just vastness. So getting started in one particular place is rather difficult.
Yes, precisely. I think that is a valid question and valid concern that's raised a million and one times to me. How do I get started? I had the same challenge. I started small. Literally, I started understanding what does AI mean? But I didn't go straight into deep dive. I understood it from, say, leaders like Elon Musk, let's say, or Satya Nadella, or someone who's really known in AI world, like Andrew Agee, who's the founder of DeepMind by Google. So I think just YouTube it or Google it, and you will see like first few feeds. And I think that simple entry is what we need to start with, understanding what it is capable of as of now and what it could do in long term. So I think don't need to go technical deep dive literally from minute one. And internet is a great place, and I think it's also a very much of an annoying place at the same time, because the amount of information out there is just a lot. You get information overload the minute you start sort of going your own route. So it's like going down your own rabbit hole and getting lost in its own sort of AI world. So I think channelizing and focusing and educating step by step. So I think picking up one media and sticking to that is a good start. If you stick into sort of, it depends how you learn as well. Some people learn by hearing podcasts. Some people, you know, watch videos. Some people read blogs. So I think pick one that works for you. Pick one source that might work for you. And I think it would be a good starting point. Some people like to do and learn. So I think picking like lots of platforms like Microsoft, Amazon, Google, even like Coursera, edX, and Python community. You have a lot of free sources out there, free tutorials. So if you choose one channel, mm-hmm. Just say, I'm going to start AI introduction today, and then I'm going to start sort of working on one particular language like Python, and I'll build a machine learning model. So I think if you want to do entry to AI in that format, you could do that as well. Again, all of this is free information out there. So, you know, it's up to you how you sort of focus your time and energy in sort of one particular verticals of AI. And this is what we also facilitate in our community events, where we talk at high level. So community event is a good place to start with as well, where information is brought to you and served you on a plate mm-hmm. with relevant demonstrations. So I think community event does give you a good entry to AI. I often talk a lot about what AI is, how AI can be effective, and how we can work on AI, how can we strategize to work on AI within a business, and how do we manage this big change. So there's a lot of things around it. Even before you start sometimes working on AI, there's a lot of background work that you may have to do. If you remember, I said AI learns from data. Mm-hmm. Data is like experience for, it represents experience in terms of machines, for machines. So most important part is to get your data right. So big organizations, if they're thinking, yes, I want to do AI, their first challenge will be, have I got the data landscape? Have I got enough information? Have I got data that has intelligence within it? Have I got data that moves freely without any hiccups or issues or quality issues, let's say, to be precise? So I think phase one of any AI project is to set up a good data foundation or a good data platform. And then you can start building AI capabilities on top of it. If you want to learn, it's again an easy job. You just go on internet, download a data file about crimes in, say, Manchester, West Yorkshire, and you could start analyzing that straight away.
Yeah.
Information is there free out there. So if you want to get started, I think there's more than one way to get started. But my recommendation will be pick a channel, talk to experts. I'll share my details later on if someone wants to get in touch with me. I mentioned the name of my community, so I'm available on Twitter or blog or LinkedIn if anyone wants to get in touch. But like I said, choose a channel and just stick to it. And most important thing over here is stay educated and stay disciplined and understand the disruption.
Sharon, it's been such a pleasure, mate. I think there was I don't think I've ever made as many notes actually. So I think this is a great starting channel for me, certainly.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure. As you mentioned, we'll put all forms of contact, all your community information in the notes attached to the show. Sure. Thanks a lot, mate. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Andy. It's been a pleasure. Happy to share more and happy to share with everyone.
Thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturi's Voice Slack group. See you next time.